Welcome to the midday now for a Tuesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we have live music in our studio, kind of an annual event that we have during the midday this time of year. We bring in ensembles from WISO, that's the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras, and one of their leaders comes in, and that seems to be Carl Levine. Welcome back to the midday.
Thanks, Norman. Thanks for having us.
Who is, of course, not exactly a slouch in his other lives either, one of the great cellists around performing very widely and prominently. So WISO, this is a kind of, is this sort of like a rite of passage for WISO that you get to at this time as some of these students are getting toward, graduating or going up to the next level?
Well, a lot of these guys have been in the program for a number of years now, especially the ones you're going to hear today. But, the orchestras are, have over 500 kids in them, and I'd say about a fifth of those kids play in the chamber music program. So these guys have played 3 or 4 years, five of them some. I would say it's a rite of passage for sure, especially with some of the repertoire they're playing today.
Yes.
Big stuff.
This is not exactly pushovers that selected. Do you think the bar has gotten higher over the years, Carl, for the performing abilities?
I think in some respects, yeah, sure. I think kids are more in tune with this kind of repertoire. They're hearing it more. They're liking it more. I mean, when I was in high school, I don't think I ever played Bartok.
Yeah.
I did Shostakovich, but not Bartok. Mm-hmm. But,
And how are these pieces actually selected? Is it kind of a committee thing? You say, well, how would you guys like to try this? And then kind of you work it out and see how it goes?
Well, all of our groups, we have about 25 groups this year playing, and I'd say those groups are all coached by upwards of 10 coaches.
Really?
So each coach gets roughly two groups. And the coaches basically determine the repertoire. Sometimes I kind of jump in and steer some, coaches a certain way or certain groups. But mostly for these guys, the youth orchestra members, a lot of them bring the rep in they want to play. I think you guys even did that, right? You
wanted
to bring your own pieces.
You guys wanted to play Bartok today?
They wanted to do it.
So. Okay. Yeah, you can. Nodding doesn't work in radio. Doesn't work. Right? You have to sing out in some form. So think about that. But so what about this Bartok that we're about to hear? A lot of people would run away just at the name Bartok, I think.
Well, it's a tremendously difficult piece in terms of transitions and just playing real, honest to God ensemble playing is probably one of the more tough quartets to play, I think.
And so this will be a movement.
A movement.
From his string quartet number 2.
Mm-hmm.
The second movement?
The second movement, correct.
Which is, typically you would expect it to be like a slow movement, or at least traditionally, but this not at all.
No, not at all. And, very different.
Before we get into it, which we will just shortly, what are some of the technical challenges then in this particular work by Bartok?
Well, this piece, I think, has just a difficult part for everybody in the group, as typically you have a very difficult first violin part and some stuff in the second violin part, but everybody has a lot to do here, so it's more than just playing the parts, but really pulling it all together is quite a difficult feat.
Yes, quite a diverse movement, isn't it? Are we ready?
I think we are.
Okay.
Maybe we should introduce our players.
So, yes, please do.
We have Manny Bradley on first violin. We have Isabel Cryer on second violin. Bette Pretikowski on viola. And Tati Tendias on the cello.
So this will be the second movement of the second string quartet by Béla Bartók from this WISO ensemble.
Thank you.
That was the second movement of the String Quartet No. 2 by Béla Bartók, and the performance was by one of our three WISO ensembles that are performing during the midday today. That's Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras, and we talked a little bit to Carl Levine, who's one of the leaders of the group. That's right, I'll call you back over here. We talked a little bit about, you know, the speed with which that movement is often played. It's played faster than that, but this brings out, I think, a lot of the finer points.
Moments of dialogue, interpretations between, of it, yeah. Faster. But yeah, there's a lot to deal with in there. So,
and certainly a lot of techniques, a lot of tempo shifting, and
right.
And of course the pizzicato and mm-hmm. all kinds of difficult things they were doing.
Absolutely.
In that Bartók, so kudos to that ensemble, and we'll have I wouldn't say exactly a change of pace here. We'll still have three string players, but we're going to bring in a pianist too for mm-hmm. the next piece. And before we do that, though, I wanted to get a sense of the seasonal rhythm of WISO and how people get into it and how you recruit them and how you sort them once you hear from them.
Well, for the chamber music program, we don't really have auditions as such. You can just apply to be in the program from, you know, becoming a member of, you know, one of the orchestras.
At any age.
Yeah, we have the four top orchestras. We have kids from all four of those orchestras in the program. So kids that are coming in the youngest orchestra, the Sinfonietta, we have a lot of kids that have been joining the program in the last couple of years just because a lot of their friends do it and they hear about it. And so we've grown from, I'd say about 40 or 50 kids the first year I did this to almost 100 now.
Really?
This okay. last year, so.
And so you have four different ensembles, and then as they progress?
Right.
Or they might place
There's actually five orchestras now, but the top four orchestras, those kids can, you know, to apply to be in the program for chamber music, so.
And a lot of soloists seem to come out of the WISO program, too.
Right. Absolutely. A lot of kids do.
Well, what do we have here?
We're going to have a movement of Brahms now, Brahms C minor piano quartet, Opus 60, the Scherzo movement. You guys all set, ready to go there? Let me pull this chair out of the way here.
A few adjustments to make here for our second ensemble.
The names of the players here. Michael Shatton on first violin, Andrew Joe on cello, Caden Brown on viola, and Michael Wu is our pianist today. Michael's actually a clarinetist in the Phil Orchestra now. Philharmonia?
Yes.
Right, so he's double duty.
A clarinetist and a pianist.
That's right, fine one too.
So, well, and that's probably true of a fair number of these WISO performers. They seem to crop up on more
many
than one
them,
instrument.
Many yeah, of them play, a lot of them play piano. And,
yeah, that's a great sign of diversity and also useful if you're going to pursue music as a career.
That's right, absolutely.
So, Carl, what can you tell us about this particular movement? What are we going to be...
Well, it's a typical kind of Brahms scherzo. Lots of work on the piano, big chords in the piano. Nice thing about this is as in many Brahms pieces, we've got a lot of great viola writing in this, and some of the string writing. He's working with lots of smaller motives in this scherzo, and I think the piano part is, you know, predominantly the bigger part to deal with in this movement. So this beautiful andante movement these guys played last night at a concert they played at. That has lots of extended solos for the viola, cello, violin. So, but you'll just hear the scherzo this afternoon.
Okay, here we go from the C minor by Brahms.
Thank you.
The Scherzo, an allegro from the piano quartet in C minor by Brahms, from his Opus 60. Certainly the mature Johannes Brahms writing there. Funny stories about Brahms as a pianist, too. He must have been quite spectacular as a pianist, certainly as a young man, given some of the things that he wrote for himself to play, the piano sonata and so on. But so often when somebody tried to get him to play, he would call himself a Sunday pianist, and he would refuse to perform. I'm not sure. Of course, he was also rather gruff, so it may have just been a matter of gruffness on Brahms's part, but he certainly knew how to write for the piano and for those other instruments too, as you've said, Carl. Well, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be hearing more from these WISO ensembles. It's the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras that we're celebrating on this Tuesday edition of the Midday. We're hearing three ensembles altogether, and they represent, well, at least 100 performers altogether that Carl Levine works with. And did I hear the number 500 somewhere, too, earlier that you mentioned?
Yeah, almost 500 now.
In WISO? Yeah. 500.
We have a new orchestra this year.
That's right. You added a fifth. I mean, just I suppose it's to accommodate all those players.
Yeah. Running out of room.
Yeah, you could have quite the monster concert if you wanted to with all those, you know. Get all 500 of them going at once. And now we're going to go long with this. we're going to hear an entire string quartet by Dmitri Shostakovich, who wrote 15 of them all together, and they vary considerably. Mm-hmm. And this one was right smack in the middle that we're going to be hearing. Its movements are pretty well seamless, So there will not be any breaks in particular that you'll notice. And that's a fairly common thing that you run into from time to time, whether it's a concerto or a string quartet. But, Carl Levine, what can you tell us before we launch this quartet by Shostakovich? What are we listening for? And then, of course, who's going to be playing it?
Well, it's one of the, I think, more profound quartets of Shostakovich. He wrote it basically for the memory of victims of fascism and war. So it starts out very solemn and quite emotional for him, I think. And it gets into a very, very martial, declamatory second movement that's very persistent, driving.
That's kind of a Russian thing.
Yeah, very, very just relentless. So you hear that, and then
relentless
it gets back
for a
into
while.
The,
yeah,
right, exactly. Seems to never end.
The mark of a great composer to know when to let up.
Right. I don't know, Grace. You want to add anything?
Sure. So the beginning of the first movement starts off with sort of a three-note motif. And it's supposed to represent Shostakovich's initials. So you can hear that in a lot of his other works and throughout this movement and all of the movements. And then also in the fourth movement, a lot of people believe that the beginning has to do with like planes, like dropping bombs. And a lot of times you hear a drone, I'm playing a drone, and they are doing a series of eighth notes and like groups of triplets and stuff. And so it kind of has to do with the bombs dropping over Germany or different places during the war and like the drone above. So a lot of people have different translations, but that's some of the prominent examples of his piece.
Well, that gives some fascinating insights. And who are our players then, Mark?
We have Grace Wieland-Tweed on first violin. We have Anand Chattal on second violin, Quinn Wilson on viola, and Matt Mildowney on the cello.
And this is the String Quartet number 8 by Dmitri Shostakovich.
Thank you. Thank you.
String Quartet number 8 by Shostakovich, played by the third of our Riso ensembles.